coming up on this week's Book Show, what would have happened if Hillary Rodham had never married Bill Clinton? In real life, Bill Clinton proposed to Hillary twice, and she said no until the third time. And author Curtis Sittenfeld's new novel, Rodham, she says no the third time as well, and she goes her own way to become a law professor and then a politician. Curtis Sittenfeld, on this week's Book Show. Welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. What would have happened if Hillary Rodham had never married Bill Clinton? As we know in real life, Bill Clinton proposed to Hillary Rodham twice, and she said no, both times. And then he proposed a third time, and she said yes. Well, in author Curtis Sittenfeld's new novel, Rodham, she says no the third time, and she goes her own way to become a law professor and then a politician. Curtis is the best-selling author of the novels Prep, The Man of My Dreams, American Wife, and Sisterland. It is a great pleasure to welcome Curtis Sittenfeld to this week's Book Show. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Has it been weird to put the book out now during a pandemic, or does that not really have an effect on it?
It does feel weird. Like, it's funny because I was thinking about what I sort of miss most. And I think it's that if I, you know, do an event in a bookstore and then I sign books afterward, readers come up and often there's something kind of like charming or funny or like a juicy little tidbit that they tell me where like somebody might say, I interned for Hillary Clinton and blah, 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 blah. And like, it's this really interesting thing that I never would have known if I hadn't had this fleeting interaction with this person in a random bookstore in like, you know, Kansas or Connecticut or wherever. Right. And then the other thing that happens is just like that the readers, you know, like one time four sisters came, and every time I have a book come out, this was at a library in Philadelphia, every time I have a book come out, they buy one copy and share it among the four of them, which I just found incredibly delightful. So I do miss, you know, those parts of human interaction. I don't know. I mean, I'm very well supported by my publisher. I think my readers know how to find this book. So I don't feel like I, you know, have the right to complain about any of that. And it's also, I mean, like I will say, having a book come out during a pandemic certainly puts like a mediocre review in context and sort of like, well, you know, who cares?
Yeah. Is there a different pressure, realizing there's always a pressure in everything that we do in life, but is there a different pressure for a book that you write about Hillary Rodham Clinton versus, say, when Eligible came out? I mean, is there a different pressure just because you're dealing with this larger-than-life character?
Well, it's funny, actually. That's a funny comparison of all my books because with Eligible, it was, you know, a modern retelling of Pride and Prejudice. And so people actually did say, aren't you worried, you know, what the really avid Jane Austen fans will think? And now, you know, people kind of say, you know, aren't you worried because people have varied and intense opinions about Hillary Clinton? So, I mean, yes, there is a more pressure or, you know, more prominence. And I think the way I really experienced that was I'm a Democrat and I was very upset after the 2016 election. And I think that this book, I mean, anyone is welcome to read it. I think it probably will be most resonant with other people who are upset after the 2016 election. And I wanted to do justice to sort of the complexities of power and ambition and gender and feminism. And I didn't want to write a provocative book for the sake of writing a provocative book. I wanted to you know, make the characters in this parallel universe come alive and just acknowledge how complicated life and politics are. And it actually, I mean, it took me a little bit longer. It took me close to 3 years to write the book. And it was actually a much longer book. So some of the pressure I felt was a pressure I put on myself that I knew that certain, you know, I've written enough books that there are people, not tons and tons, but there are some people who I know like look forward to the publication of a book by me. And I wanted to write a book that was worthy of those readers' high expectations and enthusiasm.
So then you decide, and I guess I'm interested in this process. It seems you have to figure out how this is going to end, right? That's one of the first things you have to figure out is what is the path of this woman? If she says no, then what happens to her?
Right. Yeah, I did know what end I was writing toward.
Through that end, and I think this is safe to say, correct me if I'm wrong, but the first quarter, third of the book is a pretty close timeline and pretty close biographically of what Hillary Clinton goes through until, yes, that third proposal.
Yes, I would say that's accurate. So in real life, the Clintons got married in October 1975. I don't think this is too much of a spoiler. In my version, she leaves Arkansas. She has moved to Arkansas to join him as he's embarking on his, you know, the beginning of his political career. And she ends up leaving in the summer of 1975. Again, I don't think this is giving too much away. Then the book jumps to 1991. And there's a long middle passage, you know, maybe 100 pages that takes place then. And then the book jumps again to 2015. So it covers 40 years. And yeah, I definitely, I wanted the sections where she goes her own way to, of course, be different from history, but also to have a relationship to history and, you know, have sort of echoes that would maybe make me or make a reader rethink what's really happened.
The relationship between Bill Clinton and Hillary Rodham in this novel is intense. It's an intense relationship. And as I said, in that first quarter, third of the book, it is intense, it is very sexual, and it, I don't think, again, not giving anything away, but it, that relationship and its intensity dogs her for the rest of her life. What was it like to recreate those moments, and what did you want us to know about that intensity?
I you know, feel like there's this, always been this question, I think, ever since Bill ran for president in, you know, he declared in 1991, you know, there's this question of like, is their marriage an arrangement or, you know, is it true love? And I actually think that's a false choice. And I kind of think it's both, where I definitely believe they're very close. They have so much to offer each other kind of intellectually and professionally. I mean, I certainly think they probably are attracted to each other. And if you look at pictures of them, you know, from around the time they met in the 1970s, they're both like really cute. It's not hard to imagine that they would find each other attractive. But I feel like in order to tell a story about, you know, not marrying someone and for it to feel momentous and heartbreaking, you have to believe that they've fallen in love, and their attraction seemed like a really organic, natural, important part of that. So it seemed like, you know, of course I would write about that. And that's what novels are for, are kind of being, you know, intimate and granular and personal. And you know, that's the difference between a novel and, you know, maybe a public policy speech.
I'm interested too, because I had some ambivalence of reading it, and I didn't quite know why. And I think ultimately it was the reason of, like, do I want to spend more time in my life reading about Hillary Clinton? Not because I don't respect her, quite the opposite, but just because I unfortunately know how the story ends, and it ain't great. And even to see it speculative, okay, but I don't know how I can emotionally handle that. But you paint this picture so early of her as so strong and so celebrated in the various circles that she's in, and then put her into a position in this relationship with Bill Clinton where even it's again, and I hope I'm not spoiling anything here, but where even he finally is the one who says, okay, you don't have to do this.
Right. You don't have to marry me. I mean, I think, you know, she was considered, I think, incredibly talented and promising and ambitious from the time, I mean, really, I think from the time she was in, like, junior high, if not earlier, but certainly at Wellesley, you know, she was the leader of the student government and she was the first student to deliver a commencement address. And so, you know, sometimes people will say, well, she never would have been eligible to run for president if she hadn't been married to him or if she hadn't been first lady. And I don't think that's the case. And I think people who knew them both at the time probably, you know, saw them as equals. And because of gender dynamics being what they were in the early 70s, you know, in some ways it was more impressive that she was his equal given the entrenched sexism of the times. So I think it's a funny thing where, you know, what you were saying in terms of, like, oh, can I read more about Hillary Clinton? And actually, I think that's part of what made me write this book. Like, I can understand the trepidation you would feel. But because I had written my 2008 novel, American Wife, which is a fictionalized version of the life of Laura Bush,
right,
I would sometimes be approached by editors and they would say, would you like to write an essay about Hillary Clinton? Like, especially in 2016, before the election. And I would decline because I didn't think I had anything original to say. Like, I felt like she had been very thoroughly analyzed from many angles. And then an editor at Esquire magazine asked if I'd like to write a short story from her perspective. So it was totally fiction. And I did it. It was the premise of the story, which the editor, Tyler Cabot, you know, gave to me, dumped in my lap, was, you know, sort of tell a story from her point of view as she's accepting the Democratic presidential nomination. That flipped the question for me of it no longer was, you know, what do the American people think of Hillary Clinton, but it became, what does Hillary Clinton think of the American people? And that was a really interesting, fresh, complicated question that I actually felt like had not been examined.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because to me, what you present to us is that she has a much better idea about us than we do about her.
I think that's probably fair to say. I mean, it's just such a strange phenomenon where we treat her like she's a symbol. And if you are liberal or feminist, or, you know, maybe if you yourself or her generation and entered the workforce when she did, that you know, you probably sympathize with her. And then if you are more conservative, you know, you see her as terrible. But no matter what, she's not a symbol. She's a person. She's a human being. And, you know, like all of us, she's complicated. I do feel like whenever I, like, listen to myself sort of being like, blah, 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 I feel like I should say, I've never met her. And, you know, this is totally, it really is a novel. So it's like, I did research, but if you want to know, if you want to truly get into the mind of Hillary Clinton, you know, read one of her memoirs, like What Happened or Living History.
Do you think you would have written the novel had you met her or known her better, or that it would have turned out differently?
I think, honestly, probably not. Like, if I had, you know, met her once at a fundraiser for 3 minutes,
right?
You know, I still might have written the novel if I somehow knew her. Like if I had interned for her when I was in college, I probably wouldn't have. And I in some ways, I do think so. I live in Minneapolis, and I think maybe not being part of, you know, the sort of political epicenters or the journalistic epicenters of New York and DC are helpful to me, because it doesn't really matter. Like I don't have political connections to burn. Like I don't really have political connections in the first place. I mean, I know some people who are somewhat in that world, but there is something liberating about living in Minnesota and, you know, just feeling like I'm a novelist and that's my job. And I'm not a journalist who wrote this as a side project, but still might interview her in the next few months or years.
Curtis Sittenfeld is our guest on this week's book show. The name of the new novel is Rodham. It is published by Random House. You write in the beginning of the novel, "On arriving home at night, often this was at 9 or so after a lecture or meeting, I'd eat something quick if I hadn't had dinner, peanut butter on toast or soup from a can, followed by a pot of chamomile tea. Then I'd change into blue pajamas and a white quilted nylon robe that my mother had given me before my freshman year at Wellesley. I'd pull my hair into a ponytail, set a cup of tea on my nightstand next to the lamp, sit on my bed with two pillows propped behind my back and the headboard, and make a list of what I needed to do the next day. In addition to using a spiral notebook, I kept a daily planner, which was 8x4 inches and which I reordered by mail every October. I thought of this arrangement of tea, pillows, notebook, calendar, and textbooks as my nest." You use that word nest throughout the novel. I'm interested in how you created that idea of the nest.
Well, I am a novelist and I have a big imagination, which is one of the requirements of being a novelist. So that's totally fictitious. I've never read anything to indicate that Hillary Clinton, as opposed to Hillary Rodham, has a nest. But I see her, and this is something I respect and admire about her. I think she's a very hard worker, and I think she really, you know, immerses herself in issues and policy, and even like when she's meeting people, she carefully prepares to meet those people. And so it seemed plausible. I mean, to be an accomplished person who, you know, is well versed in the issues, at some point in the day you have to take time and kind of study stuff and master stuff, and I think she does that.
There's also some really interesting things in the novel, because as you say, you're a novelist, you're creating a fictional world here. There is the interview that Bill Clinton gives on 60 Minutes to talk about the affair that he had. Now, that's different than the real interview, is a different affair than what happens in the novel, with a different woman by his side. However, the interview and the transcript you use in the novel, correct? I mean, that's pretty straightforward of where that came from.
Yeah, so the 60 Minutes interview that really occurred in 1992, you know, I largely borrow the wording, but it's not 100% verbatim. But it's probably 70% verbatim.
So this is a little tiny question that I had that I wrote in the margins as I was reading. Steve Croft did that interview. You don't use those names usually throughout the book. You will say a spokesman or an interviewer. You give a vagueness to that, which I found interesting in reading it.
So I would say in that case, I think that because I did change the wording somewhat, and I would have to go back myself and like look at a transcript and then look at the book to see if I literally changed Steve Croft's wording. But at one point I thought to myself, I should only use real names of people who are like of politicians in the book, like real life politicians. And I had to be ultimately a little more flexible than that, but it's a little bit murky. Essentially, it's a different thing to put words in the mouth of an extremely famous person or a person who's a household name and a person who's not a household name. And I would say that I don't think at this point Steve Croft is a household name. Do you disagree?
Well, in my world, he is. But I would certainly say he was probably more a household name in 1992 than he is now.
Right,
sure.
Right,
yes.
Right.
And the reason that he is a household name now has more to do with the Me Too movement. So, yeah, no, probably you're right. When you think about Hillary as a character, and you write in her own voice, how long did it take you to your satisfaction, find that voice?
It took me a while. So I worked on the book for close to 3 years, and I would say it took me maybe a year until I felt like I was, you know, using her voice somewhat convincingly. And actually, I listened to a podcast created by her campaign called With Her.
Mm-hmm.
And that helped me hear her sort of relaxed, unfiltered voice when she's interviewed by the host of that podcast, whose name is Max Linsky. She, you know, because she knows just by definition she's in friendly territory, she just sounds different in this way that like was, I want to say it's eye opening, but maybe it was ear opening or something. And I, that was like really helpful and useful to me.
There's a couple times, again, just things that I noted that I thought were really interesting. One is there's a character in the book who is pregnant. You just have a great line in here that, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy that an embryo can form, turn into a baby, gestate, and be born, and there will still be 10 months left before the election. That is what's crazy about the political system. You can have a human life born, and you still have another 10 months in a campaign.
It's presidential elections are crazy, I think, in terms of, you know, just like the stamina and energy required of the candidate and the money. It does feel like it's a very troubling system.
You also say in the book, writing as Hillary, though I'd never had much luck convincing the media of it, I usually liked other human beings and they usually liked me. That seems very true.
I mean, I think so. Like, again, there's this weird sort of twisting of Hillary's public image where even when people say, oh, she's polarizing, I feel like what they usually are trying to say is a lot of people find her unlikable. But I don't feel like enough attention is paid to the fact that a lot of people find her very likable and inspirational and impressive, and especially, you know, women and girls. And, you know, it's true she has her critics, but she also has huge, huge fans.
Given those fans, how do you think they, as you say, you're writing to people who you assume have a similar political affiliation, but do you think those fans, I found this book so satisfying and so lovely. And it's, you know, it's sort of a dream as to what, oh, okay, this is how this woman spent her life. You were looking for that, I assume.
Yeah. I mean, I think like it's funny because I feel like a few people have said like, oh, this is, you know, sort of like a liberal fantasy. And I think like, thank you. Like he's a liberal fantasy. Like it's a bad thing. I don't know what you're talking
about. No, like, no, that's, you know, snowflake heaven. Sure.
Yeah. that can go on the front of the paperback book. Yeah. I mean, I don't feel like any novel I write can be all things to all people. And that's not really my goal.
I bring this up only because it was something that my wife and I talked about, that in the beginning of the book, as I said, there's a lot of Bill and Hillary sex scenes, and I know people have commented on them, and it's been talked about a lot in the press. They can be very graphic. You know, after the first or second one, initially I thought, oh God, this is like talking about your parents having sex, and I just felt weird about it. And then, of course, it all makes sense, and you're like, oh, okay, this is fine. What was your thought on that? Was there a conversation that, as you said, everything is conscious? So what was it like in detailing those very private moments?
Well, I did wonder in the final editing stages, you know, when the book was finished, it was polished, it was edited, and I wondered, should I just pull those sex scenes? And I made the decision not to. Like, I kind of thought, I don't want to write this book to humor the people who might make fun of me or make fun of the book. Like, I want to write the best book that I'm capable of. And I think these serve the story and bring it alive. But there's also, it's funny because at some point somebody remarked on like about the sex scenes, like saying almost like I already know way too much about Bill Clinton and sex. And from my perspective, these scenes are not really about Bill Clinton and sex. Like
not
it's
at all.
Total shift in point of view and, you know, shift in the experience. And sometimes people talk about like the male gaze or the female gaze. I mean, these are certainly from the female point of view. So I feel like there are reasons to include them. And so I did.
When you finish a project like this, how long does it take to get Hillary completely out of your head?
Ha! That's a really good question. I don't. Maybe check back with me in 6 months.
I assume when you start working on something else, she'll be out of there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny because, you know, I wrote American Wife 12 years ago. It was published 12 years ago. And for a while after that, I would have dreams of Laura Bush. And I no longer have dreams of Laura Bush, but I do sometimes have dreams of Hillary.
Do you know if Laura Bush read the novel?
I don't think that she did. She one time was asked in an interview and she said something like, you know, I don't have to read it because I lived it.
And we assume, as of the taping of this interview, no word that Hillary or Bill have read the novel.
No word that they have. And I actually do not expect they will. Like some people say, you know, of course they will, or of course she will. But I think, you know, she's been depicted by Kate McKinnon and Amy Poehler on Saturday Night Live. Like her image is all over t-shirts and bumper stickers and pins. And she's just used to a level of scrutiny that most human beings are not. And so I actually don't think a novel is, you know, the biggest thing that's ever happened to her, to put it lightly.
Curtis Sittenfeld's new novel is Rodham. It is published by Random House. Curtis, it's a delight to talk to you, and the book is just terrific. Just a wonderful read, and I can't thank you enough for sharing with us. A great pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Again, Curtis Sittenfeld's new novel is Rodham. It is published by Random House. We enjoy hearing from our listeners about our shows. You can email us at book@wamc.org, and you can listen again to this or find past book shows via podcast or at wamc.org. Sarah LaDuke produces our program. Bookmark us for next week, and thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue.